Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com. A broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome to Light of the East. I am Father Thomas Loya, your host. You know, one of the most unfortunate words that we've used in the pastoral level in the church, I understand in one sense why it was used or why it is used, but I find it to be actually kind of unfortunate, actually. And that word is obligation, to fulfill our obligation. Yes, that is part of the teaching, the rule, the expectation of the church. But my problem with it is that sometimes that word is used to, well, it's used as a way of minimalizing things. And it kind of blocks our true understanding of what the obligation is really all about. Whether it's Mass, as they say in the Western Long of the Church, or liturgy in the Eastern Long of the Church. It's an obligation to do something, to be a part of something. And that something is actually what should be our motivation. We shouldn't see it as just an obligation, because sometimes that can encourage laxity. I understand why you have to have sort of like bare minimum, if you want to call it rules in the church, although I don't like to use that word rules, but I understand it to an extent. But sometimes that can be used to encourage a certain laxity. For example, I get my obligation and that's it. Kind of like getting my hand stamped because I showed up and that's all they need. But the obligation and the reason why the church actually used that word obligation, because it wanted to stress not just an obligation, meaning an obligation. It wanted to make obligatory something else. In other words, the real thing. And what that real thing is the experience of what liturgy or the Mass, Eucharist, actually is. And we have to expand our idea of liturgy, Mass, and Eucharist to mean the entire liturgical tradition, calendar, and prayer of the church, not just the celebration of the sacrifice of the Mass or the liturgy itself. That, of course, is the climactic moment. That's the heart of it all, the source and summit. But there's so much more to it. It's an integrated whole whereby prayer, gesture, tradition, practice, blessings, the Eucharist, everything comes together to immerse us in a mystical reality. And that reality is the vision, that sacramental vision of liturgy. Liturgy is actually the blueprint for all of life. If we want to understand the mysteries of life, how to live life, how to be, we go no further than the unpacking, the decoding, the immersion into the mystery of liturgy in its total sense in the church. In this case, especially in the Eastern churches, because that's what our program is about, Light of the East. And what liturgy does for us is it informs life. So life is actually liturgy. Liturgy is life. It's supposed to be lived that way. We sometimes have a temptation to compartmentalize it. In other words, we go to church, we got the obligation in, but it doesn't bear a lot of connection with the rest of our life. Not only our life personally, but marriage, family, business, economy, government, politics, everything. And yet it's supposed to. Because all of life, actually, when seen correctly, is a liturgical experience. And what do I mean by that? It means that we see and experience everything in life as filled with the presence of God, as pointing to God, as participating in God. And therefore, whatever it is we're looking at and seeing it connected with God becomes more than what it is. In other words, more than the sum of its parts. Business is not just business. The economy is not just the economy. Government is not just government. Fruits and foods and herbs and flowers are not just fruits, herbs, and flowers. They are sacramentals. They put us in touch with God's creation, with God's order of creation, with God's presence. Nothing is just what it seems. It all has a sacramental value to it, all of the created order. Liturgy sanctifies time, space, and matter. And that really matters, or it should matter in our life. Let's take time, for example. Liturgy actually sanctifies time in a way where it spans time. In other words, it enters us into what we call kairos time as opposed to chronos time. That's where we get the word chronology. You know, like this year, last year, 100 years ago, today, tomorrow. Chronology is the reality that we tend to live in for the most part. But the greater reality, the liturgical reality, is in what we call kairos time, where past, present, and future all come together as one. You see, John Paul II used some very handy terminology to explain this, where our first phase of time, he basically said there's three aspects of history of the human person. One, original man. Second, historical man. And third, eschatological man. The first and the third eras of our history are very, very similar. The third is actually an outgrowth of the first. The first is how we were at the beginning, you know, Adam and Eve, before sin. We actually lived a liturgical existence. Liturgy sees everything in creation is imbued with the presence of God, and it offers that back to God in praise and thanksgiving. In other words, it sees everything as blessed and everything as something to be offered back to God as gift because it was gift to us. That's how Adam and Eve lived before they stopped doing that all of a sudden and chose to eat the forbidden fruit. In other words, they ceased to be liturgical. Well, in the origins, when they were liturgical, there was a wonderful destiny for Adam and Eve and for all of us, for all humanity. That which they experienced in the Garden of Eden, that liturgical existence, that wonderful liturgical blessed existence, was supposed to continue on into the next life, but even taken to greater heights, body and soul together intact, entering into the next life in heaven forever, where there would be the participation in the heavenly eternal liturgy. Those two phases of history got interrupted by what we know as the present. In other words, our reality, which we sometimes call reality. You know, the brass tacks of life, the dog eat dog, the hard parts of life, the darker side, the painful side. We sometimes say when we experience these things, well, that's life. Well, actually, that's not life. It's not reality. At least not the reality God intended and what God made at the beginning. So we live in kind of an unreality, a sort of an unliturgical or aliturgical existence. However, that existence, that middle part that we live in now, that was supposed to connect the other two, our origins and our destiny, in a liturgical existence on earth. Well, we don't have that liturgical existence, but Christ came into that phase, that second middle phase that we live in now, to redeem it. That's what the incarnation was all about, why it happened. He had to come back and make it liturgical again. He redeemed it. It's not complete. It'll only be complete in the next life, but he enabled it to become liturgical again. And that's our task as human beings on this earth, and especially as Catholics, East or West, because we have at the heart of our existence as humans now, liturgy, and especially the Eucharist. In that action, we act in the most fully human way, the most fully human way, The one thing that separates us from all other creatures is the ability to be liturgical. In other words, to see all of creation as blessed, as infused with the presence of God, as gift from God, and to offer. That's the key word. Liturgy is about sacrifice, offering a sacrifice, offering back to God in praise and thanksgiving in a sacrificial gesture what He has given to us. I know we love our pets and our dogs. We love the animals of nature, watching a squirrel eat an acorn or something. But you never saw your dog stop and offer praise and thanksgiving to God for that food or for life, did you? No, and they can't. Only the human person can. And that is why we are a liturgical being. We're the only liturgical being on earth. We are, in a sense, a priestly creature. So liturgy informs us as to what our full humanness is, what it was at the beginning, what it will be. And we are called to struggle to retrieve that original liturgical existence while we're in this existence. As I said, it can be retrieved, but never perfectly. And it can only be retrieved in part thanks to the incarnation, to Jesus' redemption of this life. But we look towards the next life, when all of eternity will be perfect liturgy in heaven with God forever. But liturgy informs us of all kinds of other things in life, not only who we are as humans, our original creation and our destiny, but also how to live a liturgical existence. In other words, liturgy offers the blueprint for God's order of creation. And understanding that through understanding liturgy, the Mass, the prayer of the Church, its liturgical calendar, is to understand what life is about. Liturgy marks time, space, and matter as mattering, as sacramental. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about that and how it affects the concrete day-to-day existence of our lives. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion and to tell the story of the Eastern Lung of the Catholic Church. We need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. And then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright. You are listening to the Choirs of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church under the direction of Timothy Woods in Homer Glen, Illinois. This is the music you hear on Light of the East and is sung during the sacred liturgy at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish. Order online at ByzantineCatholic.com. All we ask is a donation of $20 or more, which includes shipping and handling, to Annunciation Parish for each Theosis CD. Send a check made out to Annunciation Parish at 14610 Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. And may God grant you.
I'm Loretta Freilich of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal of Chicago and Pentecost Today, and you are listening to Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
It's no secret that Father Loya and other speakers from the Tabor Life Institute are available to speak at your parish or group on marriage and family topics, seen through the lens of St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body. Other topics include Eastern Christian spirituality and the significance of art in the church. The Tabor Life Institute can arrange for marriage encounters, parish missions, and can help your parish facilitate teen faith formation in either English or Spanish. For Father Loya and other speakers, contact the Tabor Life Institute by writing to taborlife@earthlink.net. That's Tabor, spelled T-A-B-O-R, life, at earthlink.net.
Welcome back to Light of the East. I'm Father Thomas Loya, your host, and I am trying to walk us through the real meaning of liturgy as opposed to just seeing it as an obligation or in a compartmentalized way. In other words, where we do this on Sunday and it doesn't really have a lot of connection with the rest of our life, when it should inform our entire life, every aspect of life, as I said before, even things we wouldn't suspect, business, the economy, politics, government, but also things we might expect, such as marriage and family. We tend to be compartmentalized in our culture. We tend to be aliturgical, and that's why a lot of things don't work right in our culture. That's why we have so many problems in life. Actually, that's the real reason, because you don't have the right view of things. We have to see things in a liturgical way, just the way Adam and Eve did before the fall. Now, let's look at some of the ways that liturgy is the blueprint for our life and how it is in a concrete way. All right, we already said that liturgy gives us the correct definition or understanding of us as human beings, the human person, as a liturgical people, a liturgical creature. But now let's look at other things, such as we mentioned time, space, and matter. How about space? We build and design, or should build and design, churches especially in which the Eucharist, the sacrifice of the Eucharist, will be offered, which means that building, that space has to be sacramental, has to look sacred, has to be sacred. That means the art, the architecture, the design, all of it, what goes on in there, how it goes on, we sanctify space. Liturgy does that for us. And that's why the design and the building and the appointments of a church, especially a Catholic church, East or West, are very important because they help to immerse us in this mystical mystery of liturgy. We need the things that are visual, audio, kinesthetic. In other words, we need to touch, taste, smell, all our senses. God created us with five senses, not just to get around in life, but to be able to sense Him, to take Him in entirely as we do other things in life, to hear Him, feel Him, touch Him, taste Him, see Him. The real reason why we have five senses, to experience God in our entire being, physical and spiritual. And so sanctifying space is very much a part of what liturgy does for us. And it's important to have churches that really do look, smell, feel like churches that are worthy of celebrating the Eucharist, of that union of heaven and earth that goes on in them. See, whenever we celebrate the Mass, or the liturgy, as we say in the Eastern churches, the liturgy, what we're really doing is this. We are actually entering into that confluence of the original way we were made, as I said earlier, and our future that actually happens in liturgy. It becomes timeless. But also, we're taking our place along the angels and saints in heaven at the ongoing liturgical liturgy in heaven, the heavenly liturgy. That is a reality, a mystical reality. Remember, mystical means what is most real, not what is kind of very, very sort of spooky or undefined or esoteric. No, no, no. Mystical, mystery means what is most real. And that's what happens in the Eucharist Mass or liturgy. And it's kind of sad for those who don't partake of it, because they're missing out on an opportunity to actually touch heaven in a visceral way. Yes, a visceral way, a physical way, and a spiritual and psychological way. In other words, a total way. So liturgy sanctifies space. It also sanctifies time, not only because we enter into Kairos time, but also because of the liturgical calendar. The seasons of the year in the liturgy are marked by their own sanctification, their own sacramental quality. And we do things during those eras. For example, we just recently blessed flowers and herbs at the Feast of the Dormition of the Mother of God, the Assumption. And before that, we blessed fruits and vegetables at the season of the Transfiguration of our Lord. These things mark time. They help to enter us into the sacredness of time, the time of Christ's events. And those times have no limit to them. In other words, they're timeless. We enter into the Feast of our Lord's Transfiguration, or the Dormition, the Assumption of our Mother of God, as though it was happening for the first time. And that's not just pretend. When I say as though, I'm not just saying we pretend it is. It is truly as though it's the first time. It's ongoing. If that sounds strange, it should be familiar to you by way of understanding the Eucharist. When we celebrate the Eucharist at any liturgy or Mass in the West, we're not sacrificing Jesus all over again, as some of our non-Catholic friends say that we are because they don't understand. We are actually entering into that one and only, first and only mystical supper, Last Supper, consecration of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. That first time, which spans all time, we just keep entering into it over and over again. It's not a new sacrifice. It's the same sacrifice. Same thing with baptism. When we are baptized into the one baptism of Christ that happened once, but for all. The Jordan water that we are baptized with is actually that Jordan water that Christ entered into once and for all. So it's in liturgy and the sacraments of the church that we span time and sanctify time. Then there is, of course, matter. We bless everything. We see everything. The creation, food, flowers, herbs, things of creation, we bless them. We take them into the church. We bless branches, palm branches and pusilla branches on Palm Sunday. We bless the foods of the Pascha that we re-enter into our lives after having fasted from them during Lent. We bring them to church. Yeah, we bring them into church to have them blessed. Not just the regular blessing that we do before any meal, or we should do, but rather an actual formal blessing where the priest sprinkles those foods with holy water and they're brought to the church. They become sacramental. And believe me, they taste so good after that blessing. Truly, they do. You can tell that these foods are special. So we bless physical things. Liturgy sanctifies matter. And that does matter because it determines how we look at matter, such as the environment. This is why here at Annunciation, Byzantine Catholic Church, out of which Light of the East comes, we have many awards because of our environmental work. Not because it's a trend or fashionable or it's some kind of ideology, but it's because we take liturgy to the physical world, the world outside of us, our property, and we bring what God has made here onto our property. And that way we make our property sacramental. And so the liturgy is actually natural. It has to do with nature. It's cosmic. We see the heavens, the stars in the heavens, everything as part of a liturgical awareness, a liturgical experience, because it all glorifies God. Another thing liturgy does is it teaches us something that's very valuable that we miss today, and that is a fundamental rhythm that God wove into life, which is good for us. It's called the bell curve. In other words, a bell curve. Think of a bell. There's a rising action, a climactic moment, and then a falling action and resolution. Then it gets repeated. Liturgy has that rhythm to it. We prepare for it, or should be preparing for it, even the night before. On the way to church, the first part of the Mass is called the entrance rite. In the Eastern Church, it's called anarxis, or gathering. And it builds up. We have then the Word of God, so we're rising up now, something even greater. And now we come to the pinnacle. And that, of course, the climactic moment is of the actual Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ that we receive after being consecrated. After that, we have the moments of thanksgiving, the dismissal and the blessing. The priest sends us on outward, filled with the Eucharist, filled with the Word of God, having really sort of flown on the rhythm, the wings of that rhythm of the bell curve, and then we go out to evangelize and transform the world and to come back and do it again. We don't do it cold turkey. This is what makes it so sad, so wrong, whenever people will go to Mass or liturgy and leave right after communion. It's like going cold turkey. They don't experience that total rhythm. Think of it when you exercise, people who go jogging or work out at the gym. What do? Before that? They just plow into it, just start running? No, they go through a whole ritual of gradually rising up to the moment of going all out in their exercise. And then what do they have? They have the cool down exercises and the stretches, right? And then the returning, the cleaning up, you know, taking a shower, whatever, cleaning up, returning back to the normal rhythm. So in many things in life, we experience this rhythm. Movies and stories are made with this rhythm. There's a rising action an introduction of characters, character development, and it comes to a crisis. It builds to a crisis. The crisis is then resolved, and then we have the resolution, the happy ending, and we go home saying to ourselves, gee, that was a great movie or story. So we can look at the rhythm of life that is seen in liturgy in a very, very comprehensive way of how we live liturgy, not just attend it, but we live it. There's many more aspects of liturgy which we can get to maybe another time, but today, remember, liturgy is life. Life is liturgy. Live it. Thanks for listening. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Features and Programs tab. And on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
News from around the world as it happens. Religious liberty, immigration, prayer, plus daily reports from the White House, Capitol Hill, and Rome. Get the Catholic news perspective on the things that impact your life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.